All right, I got it. Let's see. Edit event. And we are very much looking forward to Johnny Bungalow joining us next week as our producer to take the show to the next level. Thank you for everybody who contributes to make it possible for us to hire the people who can get the job done here and bring you a better media production every day. We go now to Skype. Ryan Dawson on the line. It is 4:30 a.m. in Japan. Let's see if he's awake, shall we? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Mr. Dawson.
Hi there.
Excellent. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Dawson runs ANC Report. That's Anti-Neocons. He's in Japan right now. It's 4:30 in the morning. Certainly appreciate him getting up at this beautiful hour to come and talk to us. He just wrote a book called The Separation of Business and State, released just this week. Very excited to get into it. You can find it on his website for just $4.99 for about 50,000 words. It's a pretty serious document. I've had a chance to look at this, and I'm really excited to get into it. But you've done a lot of work in the past on foreign policy, on neocons in particular, and on 9/11 and various other important perspectives on government. You've done an incredible job bursting some statist bubbles, dispelling a lot of major myths of statism. But this is a new turn for your activism, and I was very surprised and excited to see this as someone who is, you know, an econ geek kind of libertarian who goes, you know, well, everything is economics, and you've turned your attention to this most important subject. Yeah. Why don't you tell us about, first, you know, your history of your activism and why you've come to going, now I'm going to write the book, Separation of Business and State.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the core issue for all of my activism, from wars, 9/11, et cetera, always boiled down to economic motivations for government fuckery, and if I can say that, and
you can say that. No, hold on. We are very careful about the use of language on Adam versus the Man. I just want to make sure that fuckery is the precise term you intend to use that captures what you're saying. So,
it's a perfect word for it.
Government fuckery.
Shenanigans.
Pretty good.
Whatever.
Pretty good summary. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly said, "Do you hate government?" Not as much as I do. I wrote it all down.
All right. So
actually,
again,
you do, because you wrote it all down too.
Well, all right. So turning to this, though, why the separation of business and state as the essential theme?
Yeah, I just love that title, and I don't know if you can see that graphic back there, but that's the cover of the book, and it's really crucial. I think you get a lot of different camps talking about corporatism. And then you have others blaming government. And it doesn't matter if you look at the snake from head to tail or from tail to head. It's the relationship between business and state that's the problem. And I went through everything from healthcare to education to the revolving door in the Pentagon. I tackled every subject and showed how the government makes everything more expensive, or in some cases murders millions of people and so on. And I tried to play devil's advocate and give the progressive and liberal and conservative views, and then trash them and gave my own point of view.
Well, this is a much deeper subject than most people appreciate. Why do you think, what are those arguments? What is it that you're anticipating from liberals and conservatives that this book intends to overcome?
Well, I want to smash paradigms. I mean, you'll get camps that say regulation versus deregulation. And I always point out that, see, people have this myth that regulation is such a beautiful thing because they assume the government is just benevolent and is going to regulate business to favor the public rather than itself. And I pointed out that, no, they do have the power of regulation, and theoretically you could use it in a good way, but actually they don't. They use it for corporate favoritism to line their own pockets. And I gave a gazillion examples of it. And so I'm trying to break down things and where it's written down so I can't be shouted over top of or anything. And I showed many different administrations, from Kennedy to Reagan, Republican, Democrat, it didn't matter. And I showed what they did and how they used regulations for protectionism, for mercantilism, and also in healthcare, as you were talking about earlier. Which is, I mean, the tort reform story was good too, but One particular regulation they had is with the Medicare Act, where they won't allow or Medicare and Medicaid to negotiate with Big Pharma to lower the price of drugs. This is the government butting in their own way, which just increases prices overall, and they were prescribing, et cetera. So all the topics are in there, from healthcare to war to regulatory balladies, the banking scandals that went over the $16 trillion theft, the housing bubble, and tried to calmly explain it without too much economic jargon. I tried to explain all the terms for people and give analogies, because I really want everybody to be able to pick this up and read it and go, my God, look at what they're doing to us.
So what's your response to the challenge? Okay, that's fine. That's the current state of things. But can't we have a government that doesn't favor businesses in any way? Can't we just have good government?
Not the size of government we have right now. No. A government over, I mean, I'd prefer no state. But if you're going to have a state, for a state to rule over 300 million people is ridiculous. It's not representing you, it's representing money. And until we implement a lot of changes, it's just impractical to think that the government is going to look after you. They make everything they touch more expensive. I said in the book, they have reverse Midas touch. Midas touch is the story of turning everything to gold. They turn it into something else that's brown and smells like John McCain.
Hey, we don't need to resort to such ad hominems. I mean, there's certainly, you know, more legitimate things. Hold on, no. There's certainly more legitimate things and very specific things that you can criticize that giant turd known as John McCain for, other than his odor. I mean, let's have a serious kind of academic conversation. Can we do that?
Okay, well, John McCain is, I can't think of anything positive to say about him, really, but he's him and his father have been part of cover-ups for a long time, and the guy's in complete status and probably suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. So I do sympathize with that, if that is the case. But
I certainly sympathize with whatever it was that fucked up John McCain's head. But you know, there's
something happened to him. That doesn't excuse. Shouldn't be a senator then,
right? You know? And that doesn't excuse projecting hate and miscontent onto millions of people through policy. Now, chapter four of this book is, so just tax the rich, right?
Yeah, that's another thing I hear a lot from progressives. Like, if we just only tax rich people more, and why are you going to believe that the government's just going to redistribute wealth to the poor or whatever, or social programs or whatever you think they're going to do with it? When you tax people more, it doesn't matter if they're rich, poor, or whatever, the government doesn't spend the money to help people. They spend trillions of money on banker bailouts and warfare to murder people. And they use predatory lending on massive scales, whether it's through mortgages on houses to steal property or completely dismantling some third world country by driving them into debt with their bribed puppets. And so this myth of like being able to fix everything by taxing the rich is silly. And I divide the rich between, when you're talking about the wealthy, you have to understand there's a big difference between producers, businessmen, entrepreneurs, people who provide jobs and products and production, which helps your economy, and speculators. Now, speculators aren't producing anything. They're making money from having money. It's pure gambling. But I don't even agree with taxing them either, because I would rather some rich bastard just keep their money than give it to government, because the government murders people with the money.
Yeah, important little perspective to keep in mind. Now, you go through a lot of the great challenges to this, you know, the state versus corporation, banking corruption, the housing bubble, taxing the rich, education, agriculture and energy, flying the federal skies, healthcare, the free lunch market, American welfare overseas, the environment, the mail, cops and drugs, turn off the media, the banana republic, the Pentagon's revolving door, but in Europe, war, the wealth gap, guns, gays, and God, America's mechanized terrorists, and then finally, winning, evolution begets revolution. Now, a lot of these are, you know, pretty boilerplate, you know, arguments from a libertarian perspective. Not that they don't need to be covered over and over again, because people need every opportunity possible to adapt a more rational worldview. But some of these are obviously more difficult than others. Were there any that you thought were, you know, especially important or challenging to write, perhaps?
I think that the revolving door in the Pentagon, to just know the basics of it is pretty easy, but to really know the nitty-gritty of it and how the military-industrial complex works, and I gave so many examples, and I know that was difficult to write because I had to dig up a lot from certain administrations and give specific examples. I'm not just generally giving a general argument. And I looked up the numbers and the things the way they treat the military like a toy, from everything from the Bradley fighting vehicle to F-22s, they're making products that don't even work, that are hybrids of several different things and wouldn't be sufficient in combat whatsoever. But they cost a lot of money and they have lots of bells and whistles on them. And they don't give a damn if troops get killed in them or not. And that's exactly what happened in the first Gulf War. The majority of American deaths were in the Bradley fighting vehicles, which nobody wanted. And they went out of their way with these rigged tests and things to get it produced because it involved so many industries. And you start to see for a lot of people who are gung-ho, army or whatever, they don't care about the military when you're talking about supporting the troops. These people don't care. They're just the cannon fodder for these people, and everything comes down to economics. And then, of course, the housing bubble, I understand that people know they got screwed, but I got into who did what specifically, named them, and how much they took. And so that took a lot of research as well. And I think it's worth having the whole picture there rather than just a general picture to have all the examples.
All right, I just want to home in on one more part of this. You say Chapter 11 is the environment. Not exactly a place where the argument is very obvious. What's your angle there, and how do you think you're going to overcome the liberal objections to, well, we have to essentially use the violence of government to protect the environment?
Yeah, it's not obvious, and a lot of what's supposedly environment or environmental issues are not. The way they use the Park Service and Federal Reserve, for example, is just a way to monopolize land to keep it off the free market. And they still went in and chopped down the trees and did everything they wanted to do, but in a closed environment where they could profit and make the most money because they had a monopoly. And they used it as a pretext from Teddy Roosevelt on to steal land from Native Americans when it was no longer fashionable in the world community to just ride up and shoot them or kill the buffalo. And so I give this long history of how bad the EPA has been, how bad our so-called environmental organizations have been and used to take land from people, to manipulate resources, to monopolize resources under the theme of environment. But it's really just like the shoe example you were given. It's predatory lawyers with a theme. They know all that stuff is frivolous bull. They know that. And I gave the example of our own island. They won't allow them to protect themselves from beach erosion. And so these so-called environmentalists, environmental groups, damage the environment and damage people's property. And you do a lot better having property rights, privacy rights and property rights. You can't damage somebody's property, whether it's with pollution or going over and hitting their house with a bat or whatever. You can resolve these issues. And you don't need government to enforce it because they just make it worse. We have to resolve things. You still have a court system in minimum ways, but you can't turn to government and the EPA and all these regulatory bodies because they still pollute. There's the example of DuPont in Virginia. All they did was they make it illegal to just dump the waste into Lake Metoka up there, but they can save money by doing it because the penalty is not as high as what is offset by them just dumping their waste into the water. And so they have to pay the state a portion, you know, for their fee, and then they still make a fee, and we end up with dirty water. And so the regulations and penalties that the government sets are just to create profits for big industries and themselves. And were it up to property rights, then they could just be sued by whoever owned it or was adjacent to it, and there wouldn't be a government there to protect them.
Awesome. You know, I was going to ask, well, what's your alternative? And that's always the argument, but
ask
you seem to have cut that off.
I dare you. No.
Yeah, right. Who will build the roads? All right. Well, what's your answer? All right. You want to talk about separation of business and state? How do we, who's going to build the roads,
businesses,
Ryan?
Businesses can still build the roads. You just don't need the state dictating and increasing the price. Have you ever seen the government build a road? I mean, it's like 20 guys watching one person shovel. Interstate 64 in Virginia. You used to live in Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how bad that is between from like Hampton to Williamsburg.
Dude, I'm in LA now. The roads are horrendous. They're disgusting. Oh, like everywhere. Cracks in the sidewalk, all over the place. Potholes. I mean, just it's insane how terrible the roads are here. And I don't just mean in their immediate quality, because that would be one thing. But in their general deficiency in providing for needs, you know, every time you're sitting in traffic here, you're waiting in a government line. It's like a government bread line, but it's a line to get from point A to point B. And we don't have adequate infrastructure because government prevents real road development through its monopoly. Care.
And I mean, even when the state bodies, I think Oklahoma is the one exception, perhaps, where they actually do more venture capitalist style and have a legit auction. And then there's a legit bidding process.
At least there's competition, right?
But so I mean, there are other ways, and you can look at what other countries do too. Japan's privatized just about everything, even the mail. I mean, they even screw up the mail in America, and the post office works. They're proficient. You mail a letter, it probably is going to get to where it's supposed to, unless there's a hurricane or something. That's not the problem with it. The problem is how the government went in and screwed it all up, because they demanded 75 years worth of pension money.
Yeah,
that's for people who haven't even been hired yet, which they can't pay. So they pulled money out of an industry that was working by demanding this, you know, money for future pensions, which is not going to be safe for future pensions because the government's already taken it and spent it on other crap. And so they can't, even the mail is screwed up by government.
Yep. You think we could figure out how to get packages and letters from point A to point B without the violence of government?
Yeah, well, we do have UPS and FedEx, and again, South Korea, Japan, they privatized mail back in 2005, and you still get your letters and your packages.
No way! How does that work?
It actually works.
No, really? Really?
That's what we did before, too.
Oh my gosh. You mean we don't need violence to deliver mail? Holy crap. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people find your book?
It's on smashwords.com. It's also, there's a link on ancreport.com where my podcasts are. And it should be on Amazon soon and all your bookstore websites.
Excellent. Well, best
of luck. It is an ebook, I want to point out.
Right, right.
Not a book yet. Yeah.
Well, excellent. And best of luck with all of your continued promotion and publication of this. The other website is Rise2Cents, R-Y-S, the number 2cents.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for writing Freedom. I really enjoyed the pre-read.
Well, thanks. We're going to be releasing that in at least a sneak preview here in just a day or two. So thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
I'm highly recommending it to everyone because I was fortunate enough to get to browse through that earlier.
So. Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right, Jeffrey. We have some.